everyone. Welcome back to But Why the Podcast. And today we're Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Going with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. As always, I'm your host, Kate. I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And I'm not leading this episode. It's Adrian. So he's going to dive into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Why don't we say, hey, it's good to be back. I feel like we haven't recorded forever.
Yeah, it is good to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back.
We didn't abandon all of you.
I almost died last time we recorded, actually.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was weird. But we're back now.
Yeah, between holidays, Adrian almost dying, and all the stuff coming up, it's just been a crazy messed up schedule.
It's been a crazy time. But we're here. We're here to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtle Power, cowabunga. Oh, man, that song's so good. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. First question, intro question, as we do, just real easy. Who's your favorite turtle? But I guess if Splinter or April O'Neil or Casey Jones are your favorite, I guess you can say them too.
Only the turtles. How dare you?
Only the turtles. Okay. I'm just saying, hey, just trying to be all encompassing with the turtle family.
Nope. I don't care about the turtle family. You're a turtle, and that's the only one that's a favorite.
So when I was little, Michelangelo was my favorite because he just ate a whole bunch of pizza. But now my favorite is Raphael. I really, really like Raphael, like a whole bunch. He's the most badass, and he tells people like it is.
So that was going to be my thing of, like, when I was a kid, obviously it was Michelangelo due to, like, the pizza and everything else, which I feel like that was every little tiny kid. They're like, oh, I just like pizza. Of course it's this one. And then as I got older, it was probably Donatello was probably the main one to go.
Really?
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Does not surprise me.
Never mind.
Yeah, Donatello for sure.
Wrong again. So yeah, that makes sense.
Do you actually know what you're talking about half the time anymore?
Look, Matt. It's called depression, and it makes your brain
function better.
Yeah,
allows you to focus on very simplistic things and meaningless things.
So, yeah, I've liked Raphael since I was a kid. This is mainly because when I was younger, me and my best friends, like, we assigned each other turtles. And I picked Raphael, one, because if you know anything about me, red's my favorite color. So I usually just gravitate towards red things. And then everything after that comes with it. But Raphael's, like, the big muscle guy. And I was always, like, driven to big muscle guys in groups. And then you just comes with like the sarcastic, dry, tilt like it is humor. And I like that about Raphael. And he's also like the best turtle in the live action one too. So that's always good. But yeah, that's my favorite turtle always through and through. So for the background history,
what turtles would you assign to us?
Matt's definitely Donatello for sure. Because he's like the scientist and analytical. I'd say you're Leonardo. You're the captain of the ship. Why wouldn't you be Leo?
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. And then Leia can be
Michelangelo.
Leia can be Mikey.
We got our next Halloween costume, guys.
Yeah. We're gonna kill it. So for the background history, I'm gonna keep it kind of short, mainly just because I want to talk more about, like, how much Ninja Turtle stuff there is. And the background history is pretty straightforward. There's not, like, a whole lot of, you know, when this is created, there's not a whole lot of, like, backstabbing and, like, someone people taking more credit than other stuff, which we've kind of seen when it comes to comic book characters, because that's where Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles got its start. Pretty wholesome beginnings. So the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or TMNT, or Ninja Turtles.
I refuse to refer to them as TMNT, and I hate that they went to that branding in general. But if you want my right off the bat hot take.
So do you?
But it's just an acronym.
Don't like it.
It's just an acronym.
Either say the whole thing out or say Ninja Turtles. I don't got time for TMNT.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, do I have to say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 46 times during this episode?
You can say Ninja Turtles.
Okay, saying Ninja Turtles.
You can say Ninja Turtles.
That's probably what I was gonna go with anyway. So I think that's good. There are four fictional teenaged anthropomorphic turtles named after Italian Renaissance artists. and they were trained by their anthropomorphic rat sensei in the art of ninjutsu. That's what we're going to talk about
today. I just love the fact that they're all named after Italian Renaissance artists. That's probably like one of the best things about the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Fun fact number one, they were actually going to name them after, they were going to give them Japanese names, but they thought it wasn't like silly enough based on the premise that they came up with. So they just went with Renaissance artists.
So Renaissance artists are more hilarious than.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, especially when they're big turtles who really aren't that related to Renaissance artists literally at all. Fact that I found...
I could reach there. Like, I could reach there for the personalities of those artists and what those artists did.
Yeah.
Because Leonardo da Vinci is the most accomplished of all of them, so it makes sense that he's the leader.
It also, like, gives me, like, more perspectives. Like, did Michelangelo really like pizza? The original really wouldn't like pizza that much. But funny enough, for Michelangelo specifically, they misspelled his name, the two creators. And due to copyright stuff, they didn't change it. Huh. And so like their copyright thing left. So it, like for 20 years in the comics, Michelangelo's name was spelled incorrectly.
That's
for the first 20
funny.
Years that these people were in existence, which is hilarious to me. Basically, and then from these TMNT turtles, from their home in the sewers in New York City, they battle petty crime, criminals, evil overlords, mutated creatures, and other alien invaders who are attempting to remain hidden from society. Crazy premise, but somehow it works to grow into this giant turtle power phenomenon. They were created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Layard in 1983, basically like after the duo was just sitting around eating pizza, watching TV. They made up like a joke sketch of a turtle, and then they basically went back and forth creating turtle designs, and then they just jokingly put the title as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their comic studio / house combo, and then they just ran with it. They liked the way it looked, and they just ran with it because they were basically just two guys who got together with dreams of wanting to be comic designers, and they basically moved into a house together and made it their studio called Mirage Studios. And it went over so well, they published their first issue of Ninja Turtles. And kind of like when we talked about Men in Black, when it started out as a comic, it was the first Ninja Turtles was much darker and grittier. Like, basically, like, they're killing people, they're chopping off heads, blood's flying, they're cursing, they're drinking. It's definitely a much darker version than
Ninja
Turtles.
How are they teenaged?
They're turtles.
They age different.
Yeah, turtles. I like turtles.
Yeah, so and the cool thing is like when they made this first issue, because they usually thought it was just gonna be a one-off, like they killed Shredder at the end of like the first issue just because they were just doing it just for fun. But basically what they did is they made it a parody off of different comics, but primarily Marvel's and Frank Miller's Daredevil comic, which
that
essentially
makes sense.
A lot of the parallels are there. So Splinter, the giant rat turtle sensei, equivalent to Stick, Daredevil sensei, Stick, Splinter's Wood. There's some stuff there. The Foot Clan, basically the ninja clan that is one of the biggest enemies for the Ninja Turtles. And then Daredevil has the Hand, another ninja clan, so very on the nose.
And another
there.
Another body part.
Another body part. And then basically the way that they get their powers are pretty similar. Eastman and Peter also like said that it was the same canister here. This is not Marvel canon, but the ooze canister that gave the turtles their powers is the same canister that hits Matt Murdock in the face that gives him his powers, is what they said. This isn't canon, but like the things are similar, getting their powers from radioactive substances completely by accident. Other influences for the comic were, again, Frank Miller's Ronin, basically a ninja in New York City. New Mutants, Teenage Mutants, obviously, and Dave Sim's Cerberus, which features the anthropomorphic fighting aardvark. That part, and then also the part that Dave Sim's published this comic independently for basically its entire run, like I think it's like 300 issues or something like that, which is basically what Peter and Eastman did. They did this comic for the vast majority of its life, basically just through Mirage Comics in their little home/house studio. After the first success of the first comic, the duo was approached by a licensing agent, Mark Friedman, who wanted to help the two merchandise the Turtles into toys. They were turned down a whole bunch, but Friedman found success with Playmates toys as they were getting ready to expand from Japan into the U.S. However, before they got like the go-ahead on the toys, they had to do a couple things. And the first thing they had to do was make changes to the original comic. So the original comic didn't have any distinguishing features. It was basically a black and white comic. No turtle was really different from from any of them. So they had to go back and change that. They had to take out some of the cussing, which they turned into catchphrases like cowabunga and turtle power. Instead of saying damn, which was a big word for them to say, which is consequently what Raphael says in the live action. He says damn a whole bunch. So they kind of kept some of that stuff in there. But at least for them to make toys, they had to make those changes. So that's where we get the four distinct turtles from. Leonardo, or Leo, the courageous and conscientious leader who wears a blue headband and wears and then uses two katanas. Michelangelo, or Mikey, free-spirited comic relief who wears orange and wields a pair of nunchucks. Donatello, or Donnie, basically the tech genius who wears purple and wields a bow staff. And Raphael, or Raph, who is the aggressive, sarcastic muscle who wears a red headband and wields to Psy. And additionally, they added in more characters like April O'Neil, Casey Jones. They added in more enemies like the Krang and all of these other stuff, basically to flesh out the story, since they only expected it to be a one-off issue, and honestly just to sell more toys.
I would like it to be stated on the record that Casey Jones was one of my first animated crushes.
I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
So when it comes to toy things, all I know is this stuff came out about right after I was born, for the most part, depending on the years. And so pretty much all my first toys and all this stuff is literally all Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. Because when the toy run does get started, they basically take over like the market. Like yep. They were like the best-selling toy for a long time. And this is against – and Playmates wasn't like the big – you know, one of like the big yeah. toy producers. But Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like put them on the map. And the Toys Who Made Us has a great episode on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And if you're interested in, like, if you're older and you are wondering why you should have kept your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys, that
I will not watch really that because reason. Of that. You know how many damn toys I had? I had so many Ninja Turtle toys
yeah,
and costumes
so
and, like, shirts.
That's how I feel about with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers toys because I had flip heads.
Yep, I had all those.
Yeah, the flip heads.
That's how I feel with Godzilla as well. I had all the Godzilla toys. It's been so bad watching all this stuff going, all the toys, and I'm like, I just want to be a kid and play with my toys and I had adventures, and now you're telling me I lost out like on $10,000?
No, you want to know the worst thing is every time I see something like that, I send it to my mom and I make my mom sad because my mom had this thing. If I did not pick up my toys, they got thrown away. And I didn't get replacements. So a lot of my really expensive or would be really expensive toys are in a garbage dump somewhere.
I have no idea what happened to mine. I just got older and I think they just finally either got talked out or given away. I think that most of them were given away, but it's just
your mom didn't purposely ruin your childhood.
No, I actually played with a lot of my toys.
I did too. I just didn't pick them
Apparently
up.
Apparently
you
didn't
and
play
then
with
they
enough.
Got thrown
they
away.
Were throwing them away.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I don't – because I had – for Power Rangers specifically, and there's a tie-in, right, because Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles had that crossover, so we're still on the same thing here. I don't really know if I had Power Ranger toys or, like, the knockoff ones from, like, the swap meet. I never really figured it out because, like, the heads never really flipped correct. Yeah, I don't know if they were just the knockoffs or they were legit. But.
My grandpa used to give me a portion, like a little tiny – amount of because like so essentially like we had two giant pecan trees in my grandparents' backyard, and my grandpa would essentially use the kids as labor, and he would have us go pick up all the pecans and then put them into the giant like white bins, and then he'd go sell them and he'd give us a little bit of money. And so I always used mine to buy little toys and stuff. So I had when I realized I needed to pick up my toys was when my mom actually threw away my pterodactyl zord.
Oh no!
That I had spent a lot of money to go get,
no.
And I looked it up online. That thing is worth a lot of money. makes me sad, but
yeah,
Yeah, but I also did have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I had at that point I did care about April, and I had a little April toy. And then my cousin stole all of my ninja toys. I had a Shredder, I had Mikey, and I had Raph. And my cousin took them because he said they were boy toys. I'm still bitter about it.
Well,
so you know how they did the old soda container things where you had like a case of like 30 in the giant case? I'm pretty sure we took that and made it into shells for my brother and I to make costumes.
Don't I have That's a cool. picture of you and your brother? Didn't your dad send us a picture of you?
Probably.
And your brother?
I mean, you know how many different years I was a Ninja Turtle? Probably for like the first 6 years of my life at this point. Like, it actually made up a good portion of my childhood. Like I said, when the boom happened, it was part. I was one of those children in that boom.
Yeah, it's crazy, and especially because Playmates didn't really have any. And this is also going up against, you know, G.I. Joe and things like that. But I can't remember the number off the top of my head. But they owned basically like almost the entire market for like 5 years after they came out. When it came to Christmas sales and things like that, they were outselling everything. Everything. And they keep on selling stuff. Like it's still going to today. So basically, after the initial comic run and the toy run, the Turtles become an instant phenomenon, and it spins into animated television series, live action television series, animated movies, live action movies, video games, arcade games, amusement rides, a musical, basically everything. Becomes everything, and it's still going on today. So that's really all I have for the basic intro history, just because there's really not a lot to it. Like, these dudes came up with a thing they thought was funny, and then they sold it for a lot of money and kept selling it for a very long time. And yeah, I think we can kind of get into some of the but why those. And I think one of the biggest things on why this is so cool is that it's a ridiculous premise and it works, but it's hard to replicate, and they've kind of stood the test of time of other things that are like it that can't compete with how good the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are. And I have some theories on why that is, but again, like, for the premise, just so we're all on the same page, this thing is about four wisecracking, pizza-loving Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles who learned ninjutsu from a giant talking rat, and they fight secret ninja clans, evil scientists, alien warlords, interdimensional beings, and other anthropomorphic enemies. Like, that's it. Like, that's the franchise.
And they live in a sewer.
That's probably one of the meanest cities on the planet. New York City.
It's a very decked out sewer.
Yeah. And if you kind of look back before this, and we've talked a lot about animation, I think, this year, and there's really nothing like this before it. You know, before this, the big action series or things like Thundercats and He-Man and things like that, which do have some kind of fantastical anthropomorphic stuff, but not this related to what we have kind of in our everyday
life. They're not like actual frickin' like He-Man has Battle Cat.
Yeah, that's basically
Battle
it.
Cat and then, like, is not the main character.
Yeah, I mean, the only other place I can really see stuff like this is maybe like the villain Spider-Man fights, because he does fight a lot of
Rocksteady, like Bebop and Rocksteady would totally fit in Spider-Man's rogues.
Yeah, so like that, there is, but really nothing else. And however, there is a lot of stuff that tries to replicate it, that magic of anthropomorphic action heroes that either got started off as toys or cartoons or comics. And I just want to run through a couple to see if you remember. In our show notes for our patrons, I did link some of these just in case you were wondering what this was like. But these are some of the cartoons I remember as a kid. There was Samurai Pizza Cats, Biker Mice from Mars.
Remember that one.
Street Sharks.
Remember that one.
And
Street Sharks!
Street Sharks.
Plug Vin Diesel.
With Plug Vin Diesel. I also did not realize that, because I rewatched the first live-action movie yesterday, and before Raph, like, jumps off of, like, I was watching, like, the reboot or something like that. I was watching the reboot, but in one of, like, the movies, like, Raph is like, what would Vin Diesel do? And then, like, jumps out of a plane. So there's stuff there. Just the callbacks are great for Vin Diesel. Street Sharks, and then you have the subsequent spinoff from Street Sharks, Extreme Dinosaurs, I had a bunch of toys of.
Yep, remember that
I had
one.
A bunch of Street Sharks, I had a bunch of Extreme Dinosaur toys. Another one of my personal favorite, SWAT Cats, The Radical Squadron. The second season of that show is so good. It's basically just a big anime.
I remember this. Yeah. I've actually seen this one.
Same. Yeah. You had Mighty Ducks, the animated series.
That show was so good. I love that show. Like, so I know, so I remember Street Sharks, Extreme Dinosaurs, SWAT Cats, and the Mighty Ducks. But the Mighty Ducks was like a legitimately good show. Like, I loved that shit so much. I, like, ooh, it's so cool. And the actual, like, logo is really cool. Just like the duck bill, yeah. But it's a hockey mask.
With a duck bill. Yeah. Then you also had Battletoads, which is basically like the video game attempt. Like, the premise of Battletoads is almost exactly the same as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Others that I found, but I had no idea existed, there is this Road Rovers, which is like dogs.
That sounds
and they have
familiar.
A Doberman who speaks German, or who talks in German accents.
But I want to watch it because it has puppies.
I've seen this.
Avenger Penguins.
I saw Road Rovers.
Avenger Penguins, and there's this other really ridiculous one, Wild West Cow, Boys of Moo Mesa.
What?
Yeah, it's anthropomorphic cows, and they ride horses. It's kind of weird.
So I don't know.
Oh, I watched Road Rovers.
Yeah, I was like, I've watched Road Rovers.
And then you have Dino Saucers, which comes out almost exactly after they get their TV pilot, and it's pretty similar to what we get. It's kind of like Extreme Dinosaurs, but not as extreme.
I saw this one, too.
So this cow thing is a little disturbing.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Which one?
It's a little weird. I watch some clips on YouTube.
I don't like this one.
Yeah.
So the other ones I'm okay with. This one, I no.
Yeah, so most of these, except with the exception of Dino Saucers, basically come out like early 90s or like very, very late 80s, like 89. But right when the comic launches, you have a bunch of comic knockoffs as well. So, and here's just some examples. These all came out in 86, which is basically 2 years after the original comic launched. Adolescent Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters. Preteen Dirty Jean, Kung Fu Kangaroos, Naive Interdimensional Commando Koalas, Cold-Blooded Chameleon Commandos, and is this Geriatric Gangrene Jiu-Jitsu Gerbils?
Why?
Did Kate come up with all these comics?
And while I have, like, profound love for a lot of these.
Oh, no! Those gerbils are terrifying! I thought it was going to be cute! No!
No.
No, that is not disgusting!
Cute.
Oh! Why?
Yeah, those are not cute. So, with this is like Street Sharks, Extreme Dinosaurs, SWAT Cats, Mighty Ducks. I really did enjoy those, but none of those really have the success that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has. I think it has a lot to do with it being first, because, like I said, there's really nothing like that before. No one's making green jiu-jitsu gerbils who are scary looking.
Those are just turtles with hair.
The hamsters are fine, at least.
Those are just turtles with hair. I'm telling you.
But I think the bigger part of it is that it was able to have success in different mediums. Like, they just wasn't just a cartoon. It just wasn't a comic. It just wasn't just for toys. And that's basically what those other ones really fall into. They were just trying to ride the coattails of, let's sell a bunch of toys, which they do, but they don't have the longevity that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has. And I think being first has a lot to do with that as well. Any other thoughts on these rip-off ones? I think Beast Wars has a lot to thank to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well. I don't know if you'd have Beast Wars without
Ninja Turtles.
Are you still sad about the gerbils cake? Because they're
really disturbed right now. I don't like it. I don't like. Oh, I saw gerbils and I got excited and it was like, no.
Yeah. Out of all the ones here, gerbils, hamsters, koalas,
I looked up
all cute
else.
Stuff.
All the other ones look fine. The gerbils are terrifying.
They're literally turtles with hair.
I don't like it.
I want one.
So, fun fact, I did actually have seen a few episodes of the Wild West Cow Show. I recognize the characters.
I did not know it was a thing. I kind of want it. I kind of want to watch the stuff. It's real weird. Very violent. It's a very Yeah, well, I think once you take humans out of the equations, they just do whatever they want.
Which is possibly why, which obviously I don't know if we were going to get into it yet. But yeah, no, that was going to be one of those things where I feel like that's why it ended up being so popular compared to like a G.I. Joe at some point. Because, you know, when you take humans out, all of a sudden animals are just tearing people, cutting people's heads off. But they're like, it's just a turtle.
Yeah. The funny thing is that, and we'll kind of get into this a little bit later, but like, or as like one of the fun facts. They actually, after they make the change from that first comic, there's never them actually killing anybody. I don't think Raphael or Michelangelo actually stab anybody despite the fact that they have edged weapons.
So, I believe they do in Batman/ Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I found out, like, running the site and, like, getting all, like, these comics and stuff, there are some real dark Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics, like, currently going.
Yes.
Like, there's Shredder from Hell, or Shredder Goes to Hell, which is, like, oh, God. Like, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'll sign like for like the cartoons.
Oh
and
yeah,
stuff.
The cartoon.
Well, I'm
yeah.
trying to think. I know they yeah. did it in the cartoons. I'm trying to think in the first two movies if there was anybody that died.
I don't think so.
But I couldn't remember quite.
I don't think so. I mean, they throw Shredder off a roof and put him in a trash compactor, and then he's alive in the second movie, and then like a whole pier falls on him. So I think he probably dies then. But
yeah, because I knew Shredder had died like stuff, but I was just like, I don't remember if he got stabbed or what. Been a while since I've seen this.
Stuff fell on him, and then he got kicked into a trash compactor, basically. Which is,
I mean, stab you. See, hilarious. That's a fine if you don't stab somebody; just throw them off the roof.
That's like I'm saying. Like, as long as you're not stabbing, as long as there's no blood, you can basically throw people off a building, and it just be okay.
Yes.
Just because reasons. Okay, so from there, we'll kind of talk about the different mediums that they've been in various degrees, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about the live action. And then some of the animated series. I think that's where, I mean, I had the toys, but I didn't read the comics. Like, my big thing was the show and then the movies.
Yes.
But the comics is where we get the franchise from, and it basically continues to run with IDW Publishing today, but it basically stayed with Mirage Comics for the vast majority of its existence. And in between that time, between Mirage and IDW, it's basically gone through Archie Comics, Image Comics, as well as Dreamwave Productions. And it has like over 250 main issues, I believe, with a bunch of miniseries and crossovers like we talked about. Ninja Turtles go everywhere. Like, they go with Batman. They go with, you know, the Power Rangers. They go with basically just anyone you can think of. They've probably gone somewhere and turtled it up and ate pizza with almost anyone you can think of. Which honestly not too bad, because this isn't a DC comic run. This isn't a Marvel comic run. They basically just stayed independent for a long time, and then when someone flashed them $60 million or whatever it was, they were like, okay, cool.
Which is one of the cool things too, because like they're technically, so right now the rights for TMNT goes to IDW, and they're not indie. But they're not the big two.
Exactly, right.
So, and then essentially, like, they share those rights. So, like, there is a Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles crossover that's coming from Boom. And then, of course, the Batman one that's going on. But, like, you'd be hard-pressed to say that, like, the comics sold out.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think it's like that at all. And they even brought, I'm pretty sure it's Kevin Eastman came back to kind of to work on it. And then Peter basically like never signed away all of his shares. Like, if he ever wanted to kind of come back and publish a thing independently by himself, he has those rights to do so. The two creators still have some kind of creative control over the Ninja Turtles, which is pretty cool, considering how much they've changed in kind of tone and their design, their look has all changed. And we'll kind of talk about that. So it does have television series. It has four animated series currently.
It has two.
So the first.
This is
also why I'm gonna say you can't really kind of get off my lawn here, because there's like so many episodes of the other stuff that you could spend your whole life watching the original and be totally fine. So the original series, and they're all, the first three are all called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's no other part to that. So
what
the
are
first
they
one, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay, cool. Let's keep going.
Okay. The first series was from 87 to 96, and that totaled 193 episodes. The second series was from 03 to 09 with 156 episodes. I believe the first one was on CBS and then syndicated like later on other places after that. The second series was on 4Kids TV and then later CW.
Yeah.
And then around, I think it was around 2011 when they started selling shares and things like that, Nickelodeon picks it up, and the third series runs from 2012 to 2017 and totals 124 episodes. And now they are on Rise of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is basically a prequel that ran from 2018 to now and is currently in its second season right now. It has about 26 episodes in the first season. I think the next season just started, like, this week, I think.
What is this artwork?
It's terrible.
This animation is so awful. Bad.
So that's what I was going to say. So the first two, I've seen, obviously, the 87 to 96 one, seen a lot of those. Obviously, Prime. Matt childhood, and then I've seen quite a bit of the 03 to 09 stuff, and then I don't know what the hell they do with this animation and all the other stuff that they do with these tones and everything in the last two. I know they end up being semi-successful, but I just can't watch them. They're awful.
I was in the same boat for the third one.
The CG is weird.
But I hate it. It's still pretty good. Like, it's still better than most things out there. I have seen none of this new one.
I've seen none of the new one. I know the other, but I've seen the artwork.
I've heard it's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I like this different animation better than, like, the CG in the third one.
The third one is awful looking. I tried to watch the third one because I remember it just kind of came back and it was kind of had a thing. And I was like, oh, I got time. And I was just like, I hate the way this looks.
I really liked the 2003 one. Like, a lot.
That was
really good. I liked the one that ran in 96. Obviously, because that's like childhood, but like I think like my favorite was that second one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's pretty common amongst people in our age range, just because it's good.
Yeah,
it's really really good.
Yeah, this new one though, I just don't want it. They don't even really look like turtles.
No, they don't, and that's why I can't. And they have like poly. They made them like it looks like 1992. We're making first gen like video games when everything's polygons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It kind of looks like a little Ben 10-y to me, which I like, because I like the animation like in the first Ben 10.
Yeah, but they actually have curves in Ben 10. This one just has, corners.
I just think Raphael looks dope, and that's all I care
about. You just, is it because he's big?
You look how big he is. He's huge. He's a chonk. He's a thick boy. Look at that.
He's a thick boy.
I don't know.
I could do a Lizzo boys thing, but to Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I like big boys, itty bitty boys. Just saying, there's one for everything.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
So from there, we'll move on to staying in TV, the live action series Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation that ran from 97 to 98 with 26 episodes. If you want to go watch this, you can go watch it on Netflix.
And it's
but
awful.
If you want to go watch all
and
the good stuff,
awful.
You can't.
And it is
it's so
awful.
Good.
It
no,
is awful.
It's so funny.
I literally tried to rewatch this probably about the year I met you. I was actually in the process of attempting to rewatch this, and it is just so bad.
I liked it.
I believe there's two. I believe it's two seasons, if I remember correctly. It's like two short seasons, or if it's one long, I can't remember exactly. So it doesn't.
I liked it outside of that weird ass female turtle. That female turtle
was
real weird. I'm like, why give her boobs? Don't do that.
That's not what I was gonna say.
That's not how turtles work.
She's got the coolest color because she comes in with teal, and I'm like, oh, we got teal. This is cool. I like teal. And then I'm like, what happened to you? Why do you have boobs? That's a turtle.
You guys didn't like Venus?
No.
The turtle.
I've tried rewatching this thing on Netflix three times, and I cannot do it. It's just so bad. But every time I see it, I get excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can watch Ninja Turtle. And I'm like, oh, and then about two episodes in, I'm like, oh, this is awful.
A female turtle was just not a good idea. It was a good idea. You just don't need to put boobs on a turtle.
Yeah, like, it wasn't like she was necessarily bad. She
like,
just
Venus is cool. The rest of her design is great. Don't put titties on a turtle.
You
don't want to sexualize the turtles?
No.
This is so weird.
Yeah, so like, if you want to talk about like controversies between Eastman and Laird, like this is probably the biggest one where they weren't sure whether or not they should do this. Like, Peter Laird was like definitely did not want to put that in the thing, and Eastman was more like, hey, money. It seems like...
Hey, turtle boots can like, sell.
Yeah. So it's like basically like their biggest point of contention in their relationship is basically this series and them trying to like market stuff to girls, but not doing it in the best way possible.
I get why they did it. And I didn't think she was bad like with what her character had done. And obviously I like the color that they chose for her. But also they put titties on a turtle.
I'm also just like, titties on a turtle is not how you market to girls. You know how you market to girls? You just make Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and girls who like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. People seem to forget that, by the way, but yes.
Like, that's it. Like, I don't need a titty turtle. Like, all I need, like, shit, I had April. April was a titty turtle.
I don't need a titty turtle.
Clip it. But, like, April is a really good character.
Yes, she is.
Like, she is an extremely good character. She's powerful, she has agency, and she's, like, one of the main reasons the turtles make it through anything a lot of the time. Like, that's a really good representation of a female character. You don't need Titty Turtle. I'm sorry, Venus. But, like, no. And
even, like, the female ninja lady?
Yeah!
She's really good. Not in the movies, but she's good in the cartoons.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she's dope.
Yeah. So I had fun with this series, but I'm...
I can only make it about 5 episodes in before
I think
to give
the
up.
Hard thing is they don't have as much movement in their faces.
Yeah. You can tell it's more of a low-budget TV thing versus, like, a movie and everything else.
Yeah, and I'm just salty like that's on Netflix, but not some of these animated series because they're just better than this.
Yes.
And I don't know why they still have this on there. Haven't seen the new one. I'd give it a shot just because I like turtles fighting each other.
And you
but
like big boy Raph.
I like big boys. Yeah, big boy Raph. Big boy Raph. It's kind of why I like the live action one so much. Like I like the new live action one. All right, we'll get into it. All right, so there's movies. Primarily live actions. There's 5 with 1 possible reboot with Michael Bay again because reasons, I guess. So the first Ninja Turtles in the 90s was basically the first movie. I didn't really have a whole lot of stats on this because Box Office Mojo hates us, but it did come out in 90s and was in that year the 9th ranked movie. I think it made like 280 something million on a pretty low budget, and you know, that's also the same year like Ghost, Home Alone comes out, so it does pretty well against pretty big movies that year. Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze in 91. Basically the direct sequel that comes out pretty quickly after.
That's my favorite.
And this is the one with Vanilla Ice and Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
Go Ninja, Go,
go. Go,
Ninja, go,
Ninja,
go,
Ninja, go.
It's my favorite. It's so good.
It's good. Yeah, it's really good. My opinion, it does terribly like in the box office and doesn't do very well. But it also like sold a lot more toys and stuff because you have more characters and things like that.
I saw both them movies in theaters. Y'all weren't even born.
Nope, I was not born. I watched that one on VHS.
I was born.
Yeah, were you?
I was born.
When was that release date?
I don't know the release date.
When's that potato?
That's my year. I was a potato, but I was born. Yeah, you were 3. You were still potato.
It was March 22nd, 1991.
Oh, no. Yeah, you
were pretty far off. You were like just being conceived, Kate. I guess that's what that was.
Yeah, that's about right, actually.
Your
parents went and saw this movie and said, "We need to have a Kate."
We need to have a Kate. That's hilarious. So it doesn't do as well financially. I haven't seen it in a very, very long time. Mainly one because I need to find like
they're hard
DVD
to find.
For it.
Be honest.
Yeah, I watched the first one on YouTube because they had like a pretty good YouTube thing on there. It holds up pretty well.
They do.
The fighting is kind of a little campy, but it's still fun. The characters are still good in the first one, so I have to imagine the second one probably still holds up as well. The third one I haven't seen in probably like 20 years.
This is actually the most recent one I have seen, and this one's weird because it's like so underrated, and I actually forgot it got made. For a while, and so this is the one that I forgot existed, and I was like, "Oh yeah,
I love that one because they go to."
No,
Japan.
I think it's great.
Yeah,
I actually really enjoy it. It's probably what
time travel.
Yeah, no,
it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen this one in a long time. I know it's weird that they like speak English randomly sometimes in it. Like,
it is.
What's going on here? But I remember it being good, but also, again, one of those things where, where am I supposed to go watch this movie at?
I know this is the most recent one. Easily. I watched it a few years ago. I can't remember if it just happened to be one of those they put on Netflix for like a week or something like that, and during an event, like maybe in like the release of like one of the animated shows or something like that. But it looks pretty good. I mean, from what I've seen, like I said, it's been maybe a few years since I've seen them, but I've seen them at least within the past like, you know, 5 years, all of them. Actually, it's not true. I haven't seen the first one, but that's
I also think like these movies really ruined any perspective that I have for live action that doesn't use practical, because
yes,
and it's also like I don't know if the second Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles a good movie, because I could not get over the fact that they did CG for the turtles.
Well, let's get to those movies before,
like,
we
I don't, but I'm just saying, like, the like the actual design of the turtles in the live action movies in the 90s is beautifully done. Like, the faces move really well. The bodies are real. Like, it, I don't know. It kind of, like, when I think back of, like movies that gave me, like, that magical feeling as a kid, like, oh my God, this stuff might be real. It's Star Wars and it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because of the use of practicals.
Yeah, it works out really, really well. Like I said, it holds up. Like, if you want, if you go watch it on YouTube, you can watch it on YouTube for free. And I'm surprised at how well it holds up. Like, it's not, I mean, you can tell like they're dudes in a suit, but they're dudes in a suit who are moving pretty fluidly, like Power Rangers could never. But then you have the Michael Bay reboot series in 2014, which is just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that was just
Teenage
the title
Mutant
of it.
Ninja Frogs.
Teenage Frogs.
Battletoads! I just got a meme idea. I'm going to tell my kids these are Battletoads.
Oh, don't do it.
Yes!
Oh, God damn it. God damn it. I didn't have a problem with this first movie, personally. I thought it was like an okay introduction movie. If they did a second one, and they did do a second one, so I thought it was fine. TMNT, Out of the Shadows in 2016 is the most recent one. This one's free on Prime Video if you want to go watch it. I think it holds up well. You get the Krang, you get the crazy doctor guy. It's campy and stupid, which is, I don't think I need a super serious Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It is like Skybeamy and Michael Bay-y, but if you look at it, it's like, is this a Ninja Turtles movie? It's pretty much a Ninja Turtles movie.
So I know the first one I've seen, I saw it one time, and I couldn't get past what they looked like, and so it was hard. I know the Out of Shadows one, it was actually, I was kind of excited to go see it, and then I don't know, just never ended up seeing it. I don't believe I have seen it. But it did look a lot better than the first one, and like it did seem at least promising. I also know it sadly, I think it kind of bombed. I think both of these bombed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, they don't do super, super well, but like they do Michael Bay okay.
Do they do Michael Bay okay? Michael Bay was banking on Transformers making like millions of dollars and putting out some of the worst stuff we've seen.
245 million
for
the second one. I know the second one bombed pretty bad.
Yeah, second one bombed. The second one I think was disappointing. The first one I think kind of was about what we expected, considering especially how bad the design looked.
Yeah, but I thought the second one was much better.
It looked much better. I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah, this one I think. Yeah, the first one did 493 million on a 125 million budget. But the second one's just more turtle-y, right? Like, you have those basically kind of things that they go through in the first movie is kind of stuff that, like, in the very, very first movie in the 90s is kind of the same stuff they're going through in the second movie, where they're kind of trying to figure out their, you know, their places and weaknesses and things like that, which, as a Ninja Turtles fan, I think is good. And Bebop and Rocksteady are just ridiculous, so. From there, we have two animated movies. There was the Ninja Turtles in 2007, which isn't connected to the show running at the time because it was basically announced like way before. It's another kind of weirdly animated one that kind of resembles basically kind of what they do in the fourth or the third series. Similarly kind of like design, but different. It's kind of own thing. I watched it on Nickelodeon. It's probably about it. And then Rise of TMNT is to be determined, and it's just based on like the latest show.
Okay.
And that's basically all we got for movies. So five total with a possible reboot from Michael Bay soon.
So Yeah.
Hold on, possible reboot again, or just like another continuation from
it? From what I read, it was a reboot.
A reboot of his reboot.
Yeah, I guess.
That's why I was confused. I was like, didn't Michael Bay already reboot it, so we're rebooting it again?
Yeah.
This is how we're going to get Scooby-Doo again.
Yeah. Hey, I saw the trailer for Scooby-Doo. Didn't look too bad. I'm kind of with it. It looks cute.
I have some issues. Why'd they change Fred's clothing?
I don't know.
I was more focused on Scooby-Doo. Surprisingly bugged me more than I thought it was going to be. Once somebody looked at it, I was like, that looks off. And then somebody mentioned it, and I was like, that really does. Why is this bugging me? But anyways.
So for video games, like anything, and we've talked about this multiple times on the show, but in the late 80s, early 90s, if it came out, there's a bunch of video games for it. But I don't think any are more popular, or you've undoubtedly played these in an arcade somewhere. Either Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, which both kind of follow the Simpsons game, like the scrolly kind
played of, both of them. They were both great. Also, there was a Super Nintendo Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I think was
The first one is basically a port of the NES to arcade. Yeah.
Which is also great, and I own for a long time. Which is, I'm sure, another game that probably is worth a lot of money that I have no idea where it ever went.
Probably worth a lot of money, yeah.
He's beat the game and like I know 10 that times.
There's point of contentions here. Even our editor, producer Jason, actually came in while I was doing notes and wrote that the TMNT arcade game is greater than the Simpsons arcade game and said, I have spoken.
That is fair.
Ninja Turtles 1 did come out first, but I know that that might be a point of contention with some people who are arcade people. So I don't just real quick, which one did you prefer?
TMNT.
The TMNT
same.
One.
Yeah. Okay, same. I know people who like the Simpsons one better, mainly because like Marge was like hitting people with vacuum.
I mean, it was great. I mean, I enjoyed the Simpsons one. It wasn't like it was bad. I just enjoyed the other one.
Not using Twitter logic here. I can like something else more, and the other thing can still be good.
Yeah, definitely. So, also, obviously, the toys were basically put Playmate on the map. And after the changes to the characters were made, I won't go too much into the toys, mainly because it's basically they made a bunch of money off toys. But if you want kind of a more straightforward take on just the toys alone, Toys Who Made Us has a great episode that I recommend if you want to go kick yourself for letting your mom throw out your Ninja Turtle toys.
No, that's why I refuse to watch that show, because of how many those toys. And I'm like, I had all this, and now I have no idea whatever happened to them.
There is also a musical coming out of their Shell concert tour. The tour featured live-action Turtles playing music as a band, Donatello on keyboard, Leo on bass guitar, Raph on drums and sax, and Michelangelo on guitar. On a stage with a familiar plotline, April O'Neil is kidnapped by the Shredder, and the Turtles must rescue her. I put the link to it, like to the full show in 60 FPS, on the show notes. It is basically nightmare fuel and not good.
It is amazing.
Also, I shouldn't have clicked this.
Oh, it is amazing. Yeah. It is not amazing, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. It's thanks, I hate it type situation.
Yeah, it's
where
great.
It's not.
It's amazing. Great. Yeah, go click on that.
It is over the top with like rock ballads and all kinds of craziness. It's not good. It's not good. Sorry if you like it. I'm sorry, but it's not good.
It's amazing. What are you talking about?
Basically, altogether, the franchise is currently at $14.4 billion to its name, making it the 36th highest-grossing media franchise, beating out franchises like Sailor Moon, SpongeBob, Final Fantasy, Star Trek, Superman, that are all in the top 50. And will probably keep on going because they have the show, they have another movie coming out, so I'm sure that this will grow. But you know, top 50 for something that was basically produced as an indie comic for the majority of its life, I think is pretty good.
I think it's also pretty good considering outside of, like we said, mainly the toys, like we do have a good, like two video games that are great, but then like outside of that, there's no video game for them at all, despite even that we have all the shows. And if there were, it's like something I don't recall, like they weren't big.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. They
made
just
a
kind of
mobile game that somebody, that 10 people played, but there wasn't any.
Exactly. When I was going through it, it was a bunch of like iOS games. Yeah. There was a bunch of, there was like some crossover games. There's like some tabletop games, but really it was mainly just the arcade games that they got, because once the new movie started coming out, they made like a 2007 game based on the 2007 animated movie, but I mean, I didn't play it.
Yeah, as I said, because like, I know it's been big and it's been done well, but it is surprisingly how long it sustained just off of basically a TV show.
And selling
toys.
A bunch of toys on is where they get a lot of their merchandising money from.
Yeah.
I think the movies themselves have averaged like 1.5 billion.
I mean,
I
know
they've
done well, but they haven't done anything crazy.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. They haven't done terrible, but they haven't done amazing. Like I said, you mentioned, what, 250 million out of... I mean, Frozen probably beat that whole movie from 2016 this weekend. Like, it's not like they're outselling a billion per movie. And then, obviously, the 90s. I mean, I guess if you do the inflation, they probably will jump quite a bit, but still.
Yeah.
We have a long gap of, like, 10-plus years between movies. I mean, live actions. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think it's done it well for just basically being toys and some in a TV show.
I agree. Yeah. But I miss the most of that because I couldn't stop watching that musical. Oh.
It's amazing.
They're basically just... So... Basically, they make 13 billion of that 14 million off of merchandising sales.
That's insane.
Like, it's
well,
because
I will say, like, because as much as my brother, because like, we talked about it a little bit on the Scooby-Doo episode, like, me and my brother both have like fond memories of Scooby-Doo, and so do my parents. But the Ninja Turtles is like, so far as I can remember, is the only thing that we both had like childhood toys of from different periods that weren't hand-me-downs. Like, we both had our own toy memories with Ninja Turtles, because my brother also loved the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
because even if you look at, like, the list here, if you look at their merchandising sales compared to the stuff that's doing better than it, like, it sells, the merchandise for that sells better than Pac-Man. The merchandise sells more than Avengers. The merchandise sells more than The Simpsons. Like, they sells more than things that, so even if you, let's look at the top stuff here.
I mean, because even then, like, we kind of mentioned before of, like, giving your children turtles. And letting them do whatever fighting stuff is, you know, campy versus, like, I gave them Avenger toys, which, at the end of the day, is still just humans with superpowers.
Yeah, I mean, Dragon Ball's at 16, and Teenage Mutant Turtles does more merchandise sales than they do, more than the MCU, like, together. Like, over, I mean, obviously shorter time period, but they have sold a lot of toys, a lot of playsets, a lot of sewer playsets and the trucks and all that kinds of stuff. So they've done a lot just from two dudes who wanted to make a comic in their studio house while watching bad TV one day. So moving on from there, I think like the basically last kind of thing that I wanted to talk about is kind of just like the message of teamwork that this show kind of portrays. And I think one of the reasons why Ninja Turtles resonates with people outside of just kind of its outlandish presence is like the heart of the show at the end of the day. It's all about teamwork, all about family and respect and honor and things like that. I think that resonates well with me, and I know it resonated with my friends because we all kind of made each other into Ninja Turtles, right? The creators were basically two like-minded guys who wanted to chase their dreams of being comic creators. And unlike some of the other franchises that we've covered, there isn't, like, a huge controversy between, like, these two, like, stealing ideas or taking all of the credit, which we've kind of run into a few times on some of our franchises and characters. And I think that really translates to how well the Turtles and Splinter work together. There is a little bit of fallout, you know, but nothing like we've covered before. They basically fell out because they kind of just grew apart as they grew older, but they didn't, you know, steal his ideas, and we think that one of them did more than the other, and no one kind of knows. It's not like the Batman situation, because that one was bad. And what I take from this series is basically this. So first and foremost, I think family coming from unlikely places. As the Fast and the Furious fan, I love how the show basically shows coming that family being more than just blood. So you basically have four turtles, sometimes five with Venus, if you like the animated or the live action show, a rat, a reporter, and a former hockey player basically make up the core of the family, and they're there for each other, showing that like differences doesn't really matter as long as you kind of have that common purpose and common goal. And can we also like just say that if these dudes wanted, they could like take over the city. They're four giant ass turtles who can fight really well. They could probably take over New York if they wanted, but they don't. And I think that also shows it doesn't matter where you start, It's all about what you do with what you got. So they're literally sewer-dwelling creatures who could have easily taken over New York, but chose not to. And they do mess up a lot. They're teenagers. They do dumb stuff. They fight. But that doesn't stop them from trying to be better. And each one of them has to deal with their own character flaws in their own way. And they have to, like, balance it out with their strengths. So, you know, one of the common themes is Raphael and Leo, you know, kind of vying for who's going to be the leader and, like, not listening. You know, Mikey just doing, just not thinking things through and doing things incorrectly. You know, Donatello overthinking things with science instead of just kind of going with, like, the flow. Those are all things that they have to deal with. But at the end of the day, it all makes them better. Which leads me to one of, like, the biggest things that I find important for this show is that you don't have to be good at everything, but when you find something that you're good at, like, master that shit and, like, be really, really good at it. So all four turtles contribute to the team differently, right, with Leo being the leader, Raph being kind of the muscle, quote-unquote, Donnie being the science guy, and Mikey being the kind of comic relief. Like, they all play differently into their teams. And they're all pretty good fighters, but they all mastered their own weapons, and none of them can use the weapons as good as the person who mastered that weapon. And when one is missing, they feel it. But, you know, even more to that, there's nothing wrong with, like, staying in your lane. If you know that someone knows something better than you, then be okay with that. Like, none of them try, like, Raphael doesn't try to be the science guy. Mikey doesn't try to be the leader. Like, they just all kind of stay in their lanes because they know what works and what's important for their overarching goal. I think that's super important.
Yeah, I think that we've actually had this conversation at work. So I work on a team that's now up to 5 people, but it was a team of 3 of us, and we had to cover, like, a lot of stuff at work. And one of the things that we realized, and one of the things that, like, we kind of put at the center of what we do as a team, is we each essentially play to our strengths, and we co-lead projects with people, with somebody else who fills in where that strength is. Like, one of my coworkers is really good on data, but she hates presenting and doesn't know how to build that core structure. So she does all the data and the tools, and then I do the presenting and I build out a core structure. Like, what people don't realize is that it's okay to have faults, and it's okay to not be good at everything, but, like, recognizing that you're not good at those things is also, like, a really important teamwork skill, so that you can, like, help others who can be good at that thing. And, like, I completely agree. Like, that shit, that is stuff that I use every day. Like, good lessons.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a good lesson. I don't think that we get it enough, or I don't even think kids get it enough, right? Because we watch all of these shows. I guess, like, the only thing I can think that relates well to it is maybe, like, Trollhunters, right? Like, each person, like, in the Trollhunters has, like, kind of their own thing that they're good at. And that, I think it's why that's why I think that show is so good. But if you look at shows that are just focused on, like, one character, and that one character is good at everything and doesn't really mess up too much, it's kind of hard to get those lessons from something not teamwork related.
The closest I could think of, actually, is Sailor Moon. Because each Sailor Scout has a designated role that they do really well, and they have to acknowledge it. And Serena is, like, not good at anything until she has to be. So, yeah. Like, that's probably the closest that I could think of, because you have the smart person, you have the fighter, you have the passionate person, you have the beautiful person, like, and you have Serena, who's the numbnut. But, like, I say that with love. I love Serena now. Serena's stupid. Serena is really stupid, and her skills are that she has no skills, and she has to learn that she has to do more. Like, that is Serena. But, like, Sailor Moon is probably the only other thing that I could think of that actually hits that, like, different personalities form a good team.
Yeah, because even if you look at, you know, I mean, something that's going up against it at this time for, like, the show as well as, like, the toy sales is, like, Power Rangers.
Oh yeah,
and Power Rangers
would be the same.
But
yeah,
but Power Rangers, I think, is more like they're all pretty badass, and they kind of focus on one through each episode. They don't have big distinctions. It's basically the Red Ranger, and, like, everyone else is kind of on the same
with the exception
field.
Of Billy, at least for the original Power
Billy,
Rangers.
Billy, yeah,
Billy was
exactly,
the smart
yeah.
one, and he was very
Billy
clearly
was smart
the
one,
smart
yeah.
one. But yeah, I agree. Like, they have a large cast, but, like, they don't really use the cast, like, in those roles that much.
Yeah, there was intentional ways for Eastman and Peter to tell this story that I think really comes through with how well these characters are fleshed out. And they really haven't changed. Like, they haven't, like, gone through and changed their character traits. Even though we've seen 4 different animated series, a bunch of different movies, that's basically the through line through all of it.
Yeah.
I think that's really great. And then just finally, just with the overtones of Japanese culture that values like respect and discipline, I think that Ninja Turtles really ranks up there with shows when you're trying to teach kids on how to live your life and how to not be, or how to be like a good person and work well with others. I think this show ranks up there with shows that I'll show my kids, like, this is what you should do, you know, be good at stuff, eat pizza, and do the right thing, I think is what you kind of get from this ridiculously premised franchise. And
I got some, sorry, you wrapped that up like, that's what I'm showing my kids. We're out of this bitch.
I can run through some fun facts that I think are pretty fun. But as far as, but why those? I mean, it's a show about turtles who work together to save New York City. Like, and sometimes they go time travel. it's silly and ridiculous, but I think at the end of the day, like, the reason why this show matters so much to me is those like lessons and learning how to deal with people. And I have really fond memories of doing this with my own friends. Like, we all have things that we're good at, and I think we learned that really early on because of shows like Ninja Turtles. Maybe not so much as much as we watch Dragon Ball Z. At the end of the day, Goku, Vegeta, sometimes Gohan, or come save the day. In this one, it could be any one of them. I think that's a pretty strong message. So, some real quick fun facts that didn't really fit anywhere else. Allegedly, when doing the dishes one night, Eastman accidentally put his arm through a rectangular cheese grate, which basically gave him the idea.
I don't want to hear that fun fact.
It basically gave him the idea of Shredder. They had also, like, were going to name him Great Ban or, like, Greater or something like that. So it's probably a good idea that they went with Shredder. But basically his name just comes – his whole character just comes from a cheese grate, which I think is hilarious because he's actually pretty badass. When Ninja Turtles arrived in the UK for the first time, the name had to be changed to Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, since local censorship policies deemed that the word ninja was too excessively violent in its connotations for children's programming. Even so much so that in the animated show, Mikey basically lost his nunchucks.
Nunchucks not as dangerous as katanas and size? Like, that doesn't make sense.
I think the reasoning was, when I was reading up on it, I think people were getting nunchucks because they're probably easier to make your own nunchucks than it is to make a katana. So I think they got banned because they saw an uptake in kids like beating the hell out of each other playgrounds.
I have totally made improvised weapons as a kid. So my favorite was that
South Park episode.
So do you all remember in the Power Rangers movie, there was the woman who helps them and she has a whistling staff when she like spins and whistles? I broke my chicken limbo to do that.
Oh my god.
My mom was pissed.
And you're the reason why Mikey gets his nunchucks taken away.
Yeah. We also used to make nunchucks with string and paper towel rolls.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. As the Turtles, you know, obviously Turtles love pizza, and this basically created a basically vying for who would be the one to represent the Ninja Turtles in the pizza industry, and it caused a fierce battle between the pizza giants. Eventually, Pizza Hut was able to secure a $20 million marketing campaign with the movie, but if you remember in the movies, it's Domino's who got the privilege of feeding the Turtles in the movie. Which was always kind of weird to me because I remember Pizza Hut having all these commercials, but them eating Domino's in...
I just remember Domino's had the 30 minutes or it's free thing.
Yeah.
And then they obviously
reference in the movie,
which they also then got rid of because they realized traffic exists and their drivers suck. But
yeah,
yes,
and just lastly, just I thought it was a cool fact: the first issue of Ninja Turtles sold for $70,000. In 2012, and basically copies of that initial run range from like $4,000 to like $20,000.
Oh, so shit.
You should have kept your comics too, basically.
Nah, the toys were way better.
True. But that's all I got. That's the Ninja Turtles. And again, if you want like more kind of deep into kind of that history, which we kind of had a nice overview of, the Toys Who Made Us episode is really good for the Ninja Turtles.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else. I don't have a super deep connection to the Ninja Turtles. I love them a whole bunch, and my cousin stole my toys. and told me it couldn't like it.
I mean, I guess I feel like I did, because like I said, this was probably the first, I guess, toys that I can remember, and the first, I guess, franchise I ever remember as a child. Like, this was probably, like, as Kate mentioned, if there's any, if you can actually find any young photos of me, they're probably Ninja Turtles somewhere in there. And so I do remember them. Like I said, I did watch all of the stuff and most not. I've had trouble watching them of late just because I hate what they've done with the animation and their design, sadly. And so it's been a struggle to watch. But as Adrian mentioned, there's still like so much, there's so much older content that it doesn't ever bother me. And a lot of the older content is actually, like, especially when it comes to the movies, it's way better than what we get now.
Yes.
Which is always,
yeah.
I do wish we'd get some more games, because I do remember playing the older side-scroller games, and it's been weird that I franchised this long, which then again, we've just kind of discussed over, like, the last, this year, actually, we bring up a lot of these animated stuff of, like, there used to have a ton of video games, and video games used to come out every year of, like, different things, and now they're a dime a dozen, maybe, or they went from a dime a dozen to maybe there's barely any.
Which is funny that you say that, too, because, like, everywhere else, we have, like, movies being remade and rebooted nonstop,
yeah.
but video games, you get originals, IPs, like, nonstops.
Yeah, we get a Call of Duty every year, but we haven't had a, I can't remember, like I said, obviously I don't care about the iOS games, they probably like 12 people played and it probably cost you $30 to play for an hour. I'll always have a soft spot for Teenage Mutant Turtles. They were definitely a big part of my childhood and everything else, but we'll see what happens, I guess, for me, reboot of a reboot of a reboot.
I just really want to watch Secret of the Ooze.
Me too.
I do actually want to watch Out of the Shadows, and for some reason I've always just kept saying it, but then I was just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get myself to do it.
I think it's on Hulu right now.
No, it's on
Prime Video.
It's available. It's really easily available, which is weird that, like I said, you can't find the damn 90s ones. But
yeah, that's kind of a pain. Yeah, I don't know. I think from what I was like reading, they're kind of like in a down slope, and they're kind of hoping that this new show picks them back up, just because they haven't. I mean, I guess they have the comic run going on IDW, but that's obviously not driving the bulk of their income from what we saw. So, you know, hopefully they keep going and we get not Skybeam Michael Bay movie, because they've already fought the Krang, so I'm not sure what they're supposed to do now. Ninja Turtles. Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go. Go, Ninja.
Kate, get us out of here. So good. I'm hungry.
As always, if you want to help support the show, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/butwhytheopc. You get access to all these awesome research notes that we spend countless hours crafting. A lot of hours, but not countless. It's really cool. You have all of your little notes, all of our links, all of our references. And then you can follow us on social media at ButWhyThePC on everything, but we're most active on Twitter, and get at us at our personal Twitters. I'm at OMMythRandier. Adrian?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SUPERRUIZ93.
Matt?
I'm going to go make a sandwich.